Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today I have on the show Ken Green. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David. Good to see you.
I am so happy. We've known each other. We just were doing a little pre-talk, figured out we met years ago. Nazareth had an entrepreneurial partnership board. And when was it? Maybe 15 years ago, 12 years ago?
Yeah, when Bob Miller was the president.
Yeah, when Bob Miller was the president. So we've known each other for quite a while, and you still like me, so thank you very much. So you have been...
Was that a question?
Well, I'm going to make it a statement, if you don't mind. So, just for myself. But so you have been a Rochester fixture and entrepreneur for quite a while, and had a great journey that it puts you in the place where you are today. So what I want to do, let's talk about quickly where you are today, what you're doing, and then we'll dig into your journey a little bit about how you got started to become an entrepreneur. And then I want to talk about some of the great things you're doing here down downtown here in the Sibley, is it Sibley Tower? Sibley?
Yeah, so we're sitting today in Sibley Square.
Sibley Square.
Which is a mixed-use property owned by Wind Companies. It's 1,100,000 square feet of space in the epicenter of Rochester's Renaissance. We like to say all roads lead to Sibley. If you're coming down east, if you're on Franklin, if you're on Clinton, if you're on Main, all of those roads run to us or around us.
That is true.
And so we have a lot of things going on, whether it be businesses, technology, residential, 174 apartments. By the end of last year, David, $100 million had been invested into this building, and more than half of it had been renovated over the past 5 years.
Wow. So Sibley, that's, you know, Rochesterians have heard of Sibley's. Maybe some people have moved here and don't know about Sibley's. So in 1904, Sibley's was one of the country's largest department stores, correct?
Yes. The building was built in 1904. It was actually originally called the Boston Company. It was a merchants who had moved from Boston to Rochester. And in 1904, they built this building and then expanded it and changed the name to Sibley's, Lindsay & Carr. And then over a period of time, it was shortened to Sibley's. And when we had the opportunity, we turned it into Sibley Square about 5 years ago at the start of the renovation of it.
So your company, which is, I want to make sure I get this right for everybody, to get your website right too, Green RE Solutions. And the website's greenre.com?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my company is a real estate focused company, but it's focused on three areas of the real estate world. One is brokerage. We're a licensed New York State broker who help people buy, sell, and lease property, mostly commercial. We're a manager, and what I mean by that is we operate as a property manager for clients of ours who own real estate, and we also act as a construction manager for sophisticated and not so sophisticated real estate owners who may have a project that either they don't have the time for or they don't have the skill sets for. And lastly, we're developers. We take properties and we convert them from one use to another. I'm a third generation professional real estate guy, even though my path to getting here was taken along over a long period of time. I honed my skills as a restaurant operator, not as a real estate operator. But at the end of the day, the skills were transferable to this new enterprise.
It's in your blood. It was bound to come out.
It was in my blood. It was bound to come out. And right. I think I have two of my children who are thinking or already are in the pursuit of pursuing it themselves.
That's great. That's great. So you are originally from Boston.
I grew up in Brookline, Mass., a suburb just west of Boston, the first suburb. I went to Syracuse, and other than 1 year after attending Syracuse, have lived in upstate New York my entire life.
Yeah. And now, so the Wind Companies, and they're the ones that purchased this building, and then they hired you really to do the work. I mean, that's kind of a simple way to say it.
So share in the work, I think I would say it differently. The Wind Companies bought the building about 5 years ago. Wind Companies is...
Are they out of Boston too?
Wind Companies is a Boston-based, family-owned and operated real estate company, second generation. They own and operate about 100 properties around the country, and the value of those properties is somewhere around $14 billion with a B. They are the largest or second largest houser of military and or subsidized housing in the U.S., and they purchased Sibley's 5 years ago with the intention of making it a world-class, Class A project. And if you came and looked at it today, you would see just that. New windows, new roof, new mechanicals. Half the interior of the building has been renovated with Class A product. And it is Rochester's best kept secret. So they hired my firm about 6 months ago after a 6 month conversation to help them in the commercial side of the business. They have an awful lot of experience in the residential world. And they tried to manage the curating of the commercial side of the business building from Boston. And found that Rochester was more receptive to somebody who could take advantage of opportunities and be more real-time in day-to-day blocking and tackling. So they made a decision to find somebody local. Somebody I used to ski out west with introduced us, and over a six-month period of time, I articulated my vision, and 6 months after that, they said, let's go do it, and have been remarkably supportive ever since.
That's fantastic. Well, and I don't know if you've made the connection, but so in the beginning, you talked about that Sibley's originally was called the Boston Company, right?
Yes.
When it's coming from Boston, you're from Boston.
Yes. You nothing gets past you, does
I'm
it?
Connecting. I'm
yes.
connecting.
Exactly right.
So it's like the universe has something. There's something going on here, right?
Well, ironically, when I was talking to the Wynn companies, in that six-month period of time, I reached out to two people in Boston, one who was a childhood friend of mine who's in the real estate business, and I said, you know, I'm in this conversation with the Wynn companies about participating and helping them with Sibley Square. What can you tell me about them? And the first one was, they sit behind me in Temple, and a guy named Larry Curtis, who's the president and CEO of Wynn Development, who's the managing partner of Wynn Development, is known in Boston as the best.
Join Fox News' Brian Kilmeade weekdays from 9 to noon on 1310 WOKR.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Please call 1-800-414-1305 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1305. 1-800-414-1305. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1305.
Grandma, can you come out and play?
Sure, Ellie. Oh my, you might want to come here and help Grandma.
What's the matter, Grandma? Can't you stand?
Oh, sorry, honey. It's my knees. They don't work the way they used to.
Does this ever happen to you? Are you on Medicare? You may qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Call the Health Hotline to see if you qualify. Our friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have braces for your shoulder, ankle, or back pain. And if you're covered by Medicare, you may qualify for free delivery.
Grandma, slow down. I can't keep up.
Maybe you can use a knee brace too, Ellie. Catch me if you can, kiddo.
Call now to get your pain-relieving knee brace.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
Canandaigua's newest radio station. 1310 WOKR.
Solutions. We're sitting here in the Sibley Square building. And for those of you that don't know Sibley, you're either not from Rochester or you've been asleep for the past 100 years. Sibley was the major department store in the Rochester area. Ken, I think you said before our conversations, when this was built, it was the largest department store between Chicago and
New York
in its day. So obviously a major force. And then right across was Midtown, which was the first indoor shopping plaza, right?
Correct.
So a lot of innovation, renovation going on, or I'll say renaissance going on back in the day. And here we are now, over 100 years later, and it's been dead for a while, right? I mean, I worked in Midtown. I sold radio advertising in the 90s. And I worked in the business offices upstairs in Midtown. The mall was still open. Wegmans was still there, but then it closed. So I kind of saw the decline. But even then, you would walk outside, and it was crickets. There was nothing going on. This area was, nobody was living or working downtown. They were working, but then they were leaving, right? But now, this area is exciting. We're between this building, the Met, where Branca is. I mean, where Bergman is, DNC's down here. This whole area is just so exciting. Yeah. And you do feel the renaissance. In the late summer last year, I was having lunch at Branca, and I was facing the window, and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was, it was a nice day out. It was a summer. People walking dogs, jogging, riding bikes. They were playing stickball in parcel five, right? And I'm like, you wouldn't have seen this even like 4 years ago, right?
Right.
And it's coming alive. And this area, this building is really the heart of it. A lot of history in this area. I mean, I talked to you beforehand with Sibley's. All my immigrant relatives, my grandfather worked at Sibley's for 30 plus years, maybe more. My great aunts, my uncles, my uncle, a lot of my family worked at Sibley's. So, I mean, thank you, Sibley's. They gave them the means to provide a living when they came over here,
Right.
And we're on the second floor, and my great aunt, who's 101, in fact, I'm going to go see her right after this, she told me that she used to work on the second floor for like 20 years.
But we should get her back here for a tour.
That would be something.
I would love her. I don't know if she's
mobile. She lives on her own.
So
yeah.
We'd love to get her here and show her what the building has turned into. I think she would be ecstatic to learn.
She wouldn't recognize her, right?
Yeah, she wouldn't recognize her.
So I was here last week. High Tech Rochester became NextCore on the sixth floor of the tower, right? Very exciting. They've done some great things there. Tell our listeners what is going on with this building, because for a long time there were a couple stores on the bottom. MCC was here in a couple floors. Other than that, there was a lot of nothing, right? A lot of crickets and decay and no more, right?
Yeah, no more. As I mentioned, by the end of last year, more than half of this building had been renovated at an investment of about $100 million. Mm-hmm. And so when people think about, when they think about all they hear about historic tax credits or public funds, a project like this wouldn't have occurred without that kind of an incentive for developers.
Yeah.
And so there really is a change. As long as officials hold developers responsible and accountable to do what they request and ask.
Yeah.
For an example, it was very clear that Mayor Warren wanted Sibley's to be something for everyone. And in her conversations to Gilbert Wynn, who's the CEO of Wynn Companies, she said, "I want Sibley's to be something for everyone." And they proceeded to go ahead and build, so far, 176 apartments. Of the 176, over six floors, four of those floors are fair market rate. They go from $1,700 to $2,700 a month. But two floors are fixed income, 55 and older. And you can live in absolutely glorious apartments, brand new, for $600 to $800 a month, which is tied to your income level and how it compares to the average for the area. Both sets of apartments have remarkable amenities. They have living rooms and game rooms and exercise facilities at no additional costs. Another great amenity that both of them have are these things called Amazon Hubs. So in both cases, Amazon has installed lockers in our mail rooms. They're doing a beta test in 900 properties around the country. Of the 900, Wynn makes up 300 of those 900.
Wow.
And so Amazon will deliver your package to you in these lockers. so they're there secure until you get home. They send you a notice on your phone that your stuff is in your locker. You go, you press in your code, your locker opens up. At a certain point of time, they can be refrigerated. So if you're getting produce from Whole Foods via Amazon, it'll be in your locker. And if your wife is like mine and she gets three sizes of the same outfit, when you pick out whichever one that you want, you put the two that you don't want back in the locker, and Amazon comes and takes them away.
Wow.
And they're right here. And so one of the things that's interesting, David, is sort of understanding some of the trends that are going on with residential housing today, and how this building is achieving satisfying that need. First, as you are probably aware, in the residential community, the local brokers would tell you that there is no inventory, meaning there are no houses in the 100 to 250 market, and as a result, those people are staying there. Historically, in the 50s and the 70s, what was happening is that those were the entry-level homes. They would appreciate, people would take that equity that had achieved in those, and they would go buy a more expensive home, creating the opportunity for people to enter the market. And none of that is happening, both because people are staying, there isn't excess inventory, and the people who are coming in have such significant levels of college debt that they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Right? So there are two elements that are happening at the same time, which is what's causing this huge rush to build apartment complexes. If you look around Rochester today, whether it's going up Empire Boulevard on the lake,
yep.
You see this huge, there must be 500 or 1,000 apartments on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Or if you're going down University Avenue behind the Eastman, there's more apartments being built there. The fact of the matter is that there are now 7,000 apartments in downtown Rochester, with 3,000 more under development. So getting to that magic 10,000 number. But I think one of the other things that's happened at the same time is that people, while they become isolated via technology, are yearning for community. And they're so pressed for time that they want what they want, when they want it, at their level of convenience. So if you live here, you park in the garage that's attached to this. Security is not a problem. You go up to your apartment. If you want to work out at 2 a.m., you come down the elevator, you go into the exercise facility, and you work out. If your pup wants to go outside, you take it to the second floor. There's an indoor park that you can play games with your dog. You can take it outside on an upstairs deck so it can relieve itself. And you never go out into the elements.
Yeah.
And so this idea of convenience, and then we have these community rooms, living rooms and theaters and conference rooms and libraries and playrooms and exercise facilities that allow you to interact with other members of the community of the building in a way that you couldn't before. And so this idea about building community to offset the needs that are being defined by people who are socially anorexic as a result of their technology addictions, we're meeting the needs of satisfying that.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like, if you want it to be, it could be a self-contained social community.
We are a community within our community, that we believe represents the community on the outside.
Yeah.
And so in addition to the two areas of housing that I talked about, the market rate, $1,700 to $2,700 a month, or the fixed income 55 and older at $600 to $800 or $900 a month, we're also in the conversations with the city and the state to build what we would refer to as workforce housing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with regentrification in neighborhoods today is that the people who have laid roots here, who have actually allowed these communities to survive, are being forced out because they can no longer afford to live in them.
Yeah.
Wynn recognizes that. The mayor challenged us, make something for everyone. And so we're in the process of evaluating and instituting and designing more than 100 workforce houses. So they would be for policemen and firemen, for nurses and teachers, in somewhere that 1,000 to 1,200 unit range. And so we have Spectra, our market rate. We have Landmark, which is our fixed income. And we have The Lofts, all at Sibley Square, which is for workforce housing. All of them have their own entrances. They live in gated communities. They have fobs that need to use to get onto their elevators. And they all have these community centers designed for them and available only to them to allow them to build community.
Really sounds amazing. And it sounds like you've got great support from Mayor Warren and the state and even...
And the county.
And the county, yeah.
Yeah, we have gotten great support from everyone. In addition to that, that's just the residential side of the building. As you pointed out, High Tech Rochester, now Nextcore, opened up their flagship enterprise. There must have been 100-150 people
at
that
event.
That was
fantastic.
With press.
Louise Slaughter was there, some big names there, right? Yeah.
Louise Slaughter was there, and they really have set the tone for quality of product in office today in downtown Rochester.
Yeah.
You know, so if, for those of you who don't know, Nextcore is an incubator for startup technology companies. Mm-hmm. You can rent a desk. You can rent an office. You can rent a suite of offices. You can use their lab. You can use they have a lab that's just designed for prototypes, so you can actually have 3D printers of things that you imagine that your products is going to do.
Yeah.
They have lawyers that come in and help entrepreneurs start up and protect themselves with intellectual property. And they have shared resources like conference rooms and kitchens and boardrooms and they have little telephone rooms, so you're not bothering people while you're talking on the telephone in these shared spaces. And they have 40,000 square feet of space.
It's 40,000.
On the sixth floor. And you have the option to buy another 20,000 plus.
Yeah.
That after they use up and fill up the space that they already have, I suspect they'll be back and they'll expand. In addition to the rooftop garden, which I know you're going to go up and look at after this.
I wish I brought a cigar.
There's no furniture on it. It's still winter in Rochester.
That's right.
But the rooftop garden is done and waiting for furnishings come spring.
Yeah.
And it'll be a glorious place. And if you just want to be a member there, you can pay $100 a month and use some of the resources and not use other of the resources. So a great resource for Rochester, for the area. You know, they're hosting this Luminate contest.
Yeah.
26 companies competed for 10 slots. Each of them got $100,000 worth of funding. All 10 of those companies from around the world, have moved into Sibley Square, and they're now competing for $1 million of next round funding come June or July. And so when you think about the level of smarts that has just moved into Sibley Square, some of them are living in our apartments. They take the elevator down, they walk over, mm-hmm. they go up the elevator to Nextcorp, and they never leave.
Yeah.
What's great is that by the end of 2018, there'll be a 15,000 square foot food hall, highlighted and showing the best of the best from Rochester. We're not looking for chains, been there, done that, but we're focused on people who really are experts in a quality of product.
Yeah.
And so there'll be a dozen different food vendors who will operate out of kiosks and or open kitchens. The incubator, the restaurant incubator and display kitchen and the commissary, which is a commissary kitchen that's available for at-home caterers, at-home retailers who need a licensed kitchen to produce their stuff, food truck operators, or all of these 12 food vendors in the food hall will all use this shared kitchen. It's one way Monroe County has been very supportive in this program. It's the only one that they're allowing in Monroe County in a shared kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And the display kitchen will allow chefs to try new products, to try new ideas, to either do them as an intimate table of 12 or operate a pop-up restaurant for a short period of time, which is to my heart because my son Graham opened up the first pop-up restaurant a couple of years ago after he graduated from the Culinary Institute. He opened up a restaurant called Beth for 6 weeks in the Constellation brand building in Victor.
Yeah, yeah, I heard about
so
that.
This is all full circle.
Right.
Clearly, my experience in the restaurant business has aided me in designing and curating this food hall.
Yeah.
And to really bring, again, community back to the epicenter of Rochester's renaissance. There is no place in downtown Rochester today for people to get together. People can go to Bronca and the food is delicious. People can go to Morton's for a special occasion and the food is delicious.
Yeah.
But where do people go who live here, who work here, who want to entertain with their coworkers or who want to entertain guests? Where do they go for a $10 meal, a cup of coffee, a pastry, or a cocktail to really engage in community? And we're going to make Sibley Square the epicenter of that downtown.
I'm not feeling the passion again, you know?
I will try to turn it up.
Now, this is so exciting, and, you know, you're the perfect guy at the perfect time in the perfect place to make happen. You know, especially your experience through the years. It's really exciting to see, you know, how you can take all the knowledge that you've gained over the years, channel the knowledge from your father and grandfather for with real estate and development and everything and kind of bring it all together, you know?
Yeah.
Very exciting.
And it's an interesting observation, David. One of the things, a dear friend of ours, my wife and I, who recently passed away a couple of years ago, we were talking about how all of these events in our lives, and we all go through it, right?
Yep.
Everybody's it is different.
Especially entrepreneurs. We have a little roller coaster.
I think, what do they say? There isn't a pioneer out there that doesn't have a few arrows in his butt.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, when you think about it, we can focus on any one of those events and become overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
Or we can take a 5,000 square foot view of it and say it's just a tile in the mosaic of life.
Oh, I like that.
And if we look at it as the mosaic, you need that tile. It may be a black tile that is going to add context and texture to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You need the bright ones, and you need all of them, right? I mean, we're here for a purpose, and that purpose is to learn and to grow and to develop and to give back.
Yeah.
As I mentioned to you, if the universe chose this course for me because I was unwilling, unprepared, or unable to pursue it on my own.
Well, you wouldn't be here if everything was completely rosy the whole time, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, I do a monthly or weekly national podcast where I'll interview some, you know, big national players. And I always ask them.
This is not that?
Well, this is the daily big player Rochester show. I have two. So national, you're the big Rochester player, right? But maybe we'll put you on the national. But I always ask them. I just ask them. Tell me about your crash and almost burn story. They always have one.
Yeah.
At least one, right? And I used to have a boss. This was still a friend, Steve Chartrand. And when I was first starting out, he said, David, you got to have the bad times to appreciate the good times.
Exactly right.
I like that. So, hey, Ken, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We're listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here with Ken Green. I'm Dave Amano, your host, and we'll be right back.
Join Victor's own David Mamano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
I'm Chuck Amlick. CNBC stocks have been bouncing around all day now, rising then falling. Right now, the Dow is down 32, the Nasdaq is up 8, the S&P a fraction higher. The economy grew last quarter, but a bit less than expected. The number of contracts to buy a home fell to a nearly four-year low. Interest rates and prices keep rising. President Trump meets with bipartisan members of Congress today on school safety. This will surely come up. Dick's Sporting Goods no longer selling assault rifles to everyone and all guns to anyone under 21. NBC TV, CNBC's sister network, will cut the number of ads it shows people during primetime, trying to get people to stop from turning to streaming. Google has changed its Hangout chat tool to make it more user-friendly to folks at work. And first it was chicken, now KFCs in England are running out of gravy thanks to delivery problems with DHL in Europe. Gravy ingredients there are in short supply. Chuck Kamlick, CNBC.
I'm David McNeil, founder and owner of WeatherTech.com, the world's leader in vehicle accessories, where we strive to continually exceed our customers' expectations. As a customer myself, I only work with companies with the same mission. AmericanEagle.com, our web design, development, and hosting company, has continually exceeded my expectations since the last century. That's how long WeatherTech has been a customer of AmericanEagle.com. We've grown our business tremendously over the last 17 years, and our website has been a key to our growth. What I like about AmericanEagle.com is that they're a family-run business and financially stable, so I don't have to worry about them disappearing on me, and they focus on my business goals and objectives. If you're in need of serious, experienced, and expert website design, development, strategy, and hosting, contact AmericanEagle.com. They've done it for me at WeatherTech.com, and they'll do it for you.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1. AmericanEagle.com, 877-WEB-NOW-1.
Are you tired of paying high prices for TV channels you don't watch? Of course you are. You want to watch and pay for the channels you like. Now you can take back control of your TV with Dish's FlexPack. Get over 50 of America's favorite channels for just $39.99 per month, and then add the channel packs that you want. and your TV price won't go up for 2 years, guaranteed. Plus, when you call today, you'll get free standard installation in up to 6 rooms and a free HD DVR upgrade. Need more channels? Dish offers loaded channel lineups from $54.99 per month, featuring over 190 channels, and HBO is included for a full year. And for a limited time, GoDish will give you a $100 prepaid Visa card when you sign up and mention offer code GIFT100. Call now, 800-518-8624. 800-518-8624. 800-518-8624.
Packages, prices, and promotions subject to change. Gift card courtesy of GoDish.com. Call for details.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
We're here in the heart of the Renaissance of Rochester. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come and feel the energy. Come down to Sibley Square. So much going on here. There's kind of a literally a square, not only Sibley Square, but it's probably more of an oblong shape, but it's kind of a square of really what this Renaissance area, right? You go over to the Metropolitan, you go over to the, I forgot what the name of the building.
Tower 280.
Tower 280. My cousin works at Bergman. I've been in there many times. Who knows what's going to happen with Parcel 5? Apparently, they're going to put the theater there. Is that where the Performing Arts Center there? Is that official or semi-official?
I did ask that question to Mayor Warren, who was here last week, and she said it is still her desire. She thinks it's the best use of that property.
Yeah.
And time will tell whether City Council agrees or disagrees.
Yeah.
It's very challenging, and appropriately so.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people asked when all the hoopla happened, about the controversy of Parcel 5 and whether one developer should have had it or another developer was or wasn't involved in the RFP. And I said, they said, what do you think? And I said, you know, I'm really grateful that I live in a community that you can go to City Council and express your opinion. And they listen.
Yeah.
And that they are saying, hey, listen, let us think about this while we process this information so that we can make sure that we make the right decision. There are a lot of conflicting needs today in downtown Rochester.
Yeah.
You know, whether some people say it ought to be a park because we don't really have much green space. And some people are saying, hey, listen, we don't think it should be a performing arts center because it only handles people from the suburbs who are coming in from the out of town. Or others who say, hey, no, we think it ought to be a different kind of use, apartments or more retail or more office. And how do you know?
Yeah.
You know, and so we have these government officials who spend an awful lot of time trying to make the right decision and do what's right in a global picture. But as I was driving around the other day, and I do a lot of driving around because I want to understand what's going on, I have never seen more activity in downtown Rochester. And I've been here since 1990, so it's 28 years. I have never seen development on the waterfront, the filling in of the Interloop, all of the stuff in around Midtown and Sibley Square and Parcel 5. And when you think about just the level and enormity of all of that development, but to your point earlier, I have seen also the sea change. You know, that when I was 15 years ago, I had restaurants downtown, and I had one at State and Main, it was not successful. And when Midtown Plaza was here, I had one in there, and it was not successful.
Mm-hmm.
But it was true that the epicenter of downtown used to be, the energy point used to be at the intersection of State and Main. That's where it was. It was across from the courthouse, it was across from the county office building, it was down the street from Kodak. That intersection, the Powers building and those buildings, that was the hub. Everything west of the river, that was the hub. And I've observed over the past 5 years that has shifted to the east of the river.
Yeah.
And I believe that the permanency of that will occur as the development of the Interloop occurs. It's filled in now. It's a little bit head-scratching to understand that they filled it in so that the developers can go dig it up to put in whatever they need as basements in there. But that being said, there must have been a reason for that. I don't know. But as those buildings get built, if that development happens for Strong, as the developers build housing and retail, and allow the continuity of the eastern suburbs and the city of Rochester to finally heal that wound that occurred when that Interloop was really built after the riots. I think is just a remarkable thing for a community to experience. But if you are aware and spend any time in downtown Rochester, there has never been a time in my lifetime where I have seen as much development and growth in building as I have seen in the last 5 years here.
No, the energy is amazing. The energy is amazing. And I believe you're right about this becoming the epicenter of the city. And
oh, it is the epicenter.
Yeah, it is. It is, right. So you're right that it is the epicenter.
Thank you. It has become.
Because Ken said so. No, I totally agree with you. And I think, too, you know, that just the excitement that has been happening over the years of East End area, and this is kind of all connecting. It's all coming together, where it'd be, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I don't think a lot of people would have just gone for a stroll in this area down East Ave, Park Ave. And now it's becoming an area that I think, you know, people living down here, it's just becoming more of a vibrant community area where you'll see more people just hanging out and enjoying the community. Where 15 years ago, like I said before, when I worked here, you walked out at lunch and, you know, besides the restaurants that were in Midtown, there was nothing going on, right?
Yeah, I will tell you two anecdotal stories that I think are applicable to what you're just saying, Dave. Mm-hmm. The one was I was here over the weekend. It was a Saturday morning. It was about 10 o'clock, and there were people walking in the streets. Mm-hmm. On a Saturday weekend, 10 o'clock in the morning, people are walking in the streets. And I was coming to Sibley Square. I had a meeting here, and there was actually a couple who was having a one-year-old birthday party in our reception room on the second floor of the amenities to the market rate apartments.
Wow.
Because their one-year-old was celebrating his one-year birthday.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that 5 years ago that would have happened. It's only because of the vision.
Right,
of
2 years ago.
It's only because of the vision of people like Gilbert Wynn and the Wynn yeah. companies that have the gumption and the chutzpah or the courage
yeah.
To really roll the dice and make that happen.
Yeah, no, it's very, very exciting. So we talked about before, we have about 7,000 units that are built, 3,000 more on the way. And, you know, we talked about Heidi Zimmermeyer. I was at a seminar she put on years ago where a lot of the major retailers will look at a downtown center having 10,000 people or more before they'll come in. So we're rapidly approaching that, right? So
we may even already be at the 10,000 number, because the difference is not every apartment has one person.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, so there are 7,000 units. Oh, some of them may have two people or three people.
Yeah.
And so I think we're already north of that 10,000 in population.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is true that everybody always knew, you know, everybody said, well, we got to get retailers down there before apartments will come. And then you get people say, no, you got to get apartments down there before retailers go. People say, who's going to live downtown if there's nothing to shop?
Right.
And so there is chicken this egg, chicken yeah. the egg yeah, yeah. Challenge. But I think they're all happening at the same time. But I will say this. My belief is that retail downtown will never be what we remembered it being.
Right.
That as I view the curation of this building at Sibley Square on the commercial side of it, I'm seeing more service-oriented versus retail-oriented use. Right. So there's a daycare, there's a dental office, there's a lifespan, there's a bank, there's a, you know, there will be an art gallery. You know, so we have a daycare. So it's services, not necessarily clothing stores or Radio Shacks or people selling stuff.
Yeah.
They're selling services that the people who live downtown need.
Right. And that's changing all over the place.
Right.
I mean, Victor and Kmart just left. So, I mean, this is not only not going to happen here. It's not going to happen other places, to the suburbs as well. So you're on the forefront, the cutting edge of as you're building this, you get to take advantage of everything going on. Like we talked about all the Amazon services where, you know, residents have their locker and they could have delivered fresh food from Whole Foods, from Amazon. So that's at the cutting edge. As you're developing this, you can take all those things in mind and incorporate them into what you're doing. So very
right.
exciting time to be building something.
Yeah, it was, for me, one of the best compliments we received, Mark Sewick, who's a rather large residential mm-hmm. real estate.
I don't think he's that heavy.
He's a small guy. But, he clearly has been very successful. And he's a friend. He is a friend, and so I invited him down for a tour while we were under construction. And he said, I don't think he'll be upset. He said, these are the nicest apartments that I've seen in Rochester.
Wow!
And he owns a couple of hundred
yeah.
himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he recognizes the quality that Wynn Companies invests in their product. You don't get to 10,000 homes accidentally. You don't become the first or the second largest supplier of homes to military or subsidized housing accidentally.
Yeah.
It comes from a lot of hard work and a lot of intellect and a lot of smarts.
Yeah, very exciting. So Ken, I would be very upset. We got about 5 minutes left. And so beyond Sibley, maybe moving backwards, so a lot of beginning to middle stage entrepreneurs listening to this show. And you've been an entrepreneur for how long now? Forever?
My first two businesses were in high school. Mm-hmm. When I was a freshman or sophomore in high school, I was making colored sand terrariums and selling them to florist shops in and around Boston.
Nice.
Later in my high school career, I was installing alarms and CDs and CBs and radios and tape decks in cars. With a bunch of friends.
I haven't heard about CBs in a while, right?
For those who don't know, it's a citizen band radio. It's sort of like text messaging back in the early days.
Right, yeah.
And then I got into the real estate business and spent 30 years during that.
Yeah.
But the point was, so I've always been an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I've always sort of understood that I wanted to do that. And I've had a lot of...
You've been unemployable since high school, it sounds like, right? So.
In some ways, that is true. It's easy when you are the boss,
right?
To be employed, right?
Yeah.
And then you get opportunities to reinvent yourself, which I've had.
I joke that I've been an entrepreneur for 23 years, and if I had to get a job, that's just not possible. I'm unemployable. Like, how am I going to work for somebody after all these years, right?
Right. So what's great? Yeah. So it's. I'm not sure what the question you wanted to ask entrepreneurship.
So in the last three minutes here, so advice, any.
Okay, here's the advice, and I want to include a story, and it's going to take all the 3 minutes.
Beautiful.
And it's thinking beyond what you believe possible. Mm-hmm. So it will be, I'm going to say 15 years ago, my son Ben, who was probably 13 at the time, we were at the kitchen table, and Brugger's was celebrating its 15th anniversary, and Ben said, he was a student of the Guinness Book of World Records, he said, you should build the world's biggest bagel. I said, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
and I went to the team, and I said, hey, listen, let's just go explore it. And the marketing person came back and said, it needs to be edible, it has to be baked the same way you bake the normal bagel. I then engineered and designed and built an oven, to be able to build, and I knew I had somebody else came up with an algebraic formula that told me how big the bagel would need to be if I started with 1,000 pounds of dough, because at the time it was owned by Lenders, which was a division of Kraft. They're a small food service company.
Yeah.
So here's this guy in upstate New York who's running 25 or 30 Brugger's in the country, who says, no, I'm going to go take it away from Kraft. And I designed and engineered and had this oven built. And it took a lot of time. And so they kept making 1,000-pound bagels. And at first, the glutens weren't strong enough to hold it. You keep me track on time. The glutens weren't strong enough to hold it, and so we had to build this shell. And then when we built the shell to hold the bagel, it wouldn't fit into the refrigerator because it was too big.
Yeah.
It was bigger than the door. So we put it onto the truck. And so it was retarding in the truck, and overnight, wouldn't you know it, the refrigeration on the truck goes out, and you open the door the next morning. It was summertime, and it was like an I Love Lucy show where
right.
the dough is just growing out of it
like
that loaf of bread that came out of her oven.
Yeah.
And then we had to figure out how to bake it, because baking is all about time and attention, time and temperature.
Yeah.
And so when you're baking 1,000 pounds of dough, if you do it too long, it's too hard.
Yeah.
If you do it too soft, too short, it's soft on the outside but raw on the inside. And so it took me 13 times to sort of figure out what's the right temperature and what's the right time.
It's like 13.
But 13,000 pounds of dough to get it.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.